Right, the theme this month is the Word of God. And tonight's message is the Word of God gives spiritual strength. We're at the start of a brand new year, 2023. And, you know, we pretty much have an entire 12 months ahead of us. And maybe 2022 was tough for you. Maybe you experienced an unexpected illness, maybe a financial loss, maybe the loss of a relationship, or maybe you experienced challenges in your spiritual life, your spiritual walk with God. But the good news tonight is this, is that 2023 can be better than 2022 for you. But there's a vital spiritual discipline we've got to be practicing. It's getting into the Word of God. So I want to give you some food for thought tonight. Let's say, for instance, hypothetically, you eat only 4 meals a month instead of the recommended 3 per day. Only 4 meals a month and water. How many would agree that you'd get physically weak? You would not have the energy to withstand the pressures of the week, right? It's the same way spiritually. If you're getting into the Word of God every so often, maybe just 4 times a month, and maybe some of you out there think, well, you know, I get into the Word of God on Sundays, the Sabbath day. 4 Sundays a month, I get into the Word of God. I read a few scriptures and think about it, or I listen to the minister, and 4 times a month I get into God's Word. Guess what? If you're getting into the Word of God just 4 times a month, and for some people it's even less than that, some people think, you know what? I get into the Word of God at Easter and at Christmas. If you're getting into the Word of God just so occasionally and sporadically, guess what? You're not going to have spiritual strength, the spiritual energy to withstand the spiritual pressures and attacks and challenges that will come across your life this year. So, to withstand spiritual challenges, you've got to be eating from God's Word on a daily basis. Just like you've got to be having those physical meals on a daily basis, you've got to be getting into the Word of God on a consistent daily basis. Now, I'm going to read you a kind of a illustration from the speaker's quote book that I was reading the other day. I thought it was interesting. It's just real short, and it says this. This is from the Vance Havner quote book. If you see a Bible that is falling apart, it probably belongs to someone who isn't. Interesting. If you see a Bible that's falling apart, it probably belongs to someone who isn't. Is your Bible just acquiring layers of dust, or is your Bible falling apart because you get into it, read it, and meditate upon the Word of God? Getting into the Word of God on a consistent basis will give you spiritual strength and vitality in your walk with God and in following Jesus Christ. So tonight, for the next few moments, we're going to talk about what Jesus says concerning His words, the Word of God, in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. So He gave a sermon previous to this, and He ends His sermon with Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. He was giving a series of teachings. In Matthew chapter 7, it's the Sermon on the Mount. So Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears or is hearing my words on a consistent basis and puts them or is putting them into practice, obeying them on a consistent basis. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So, I was doing a little bit of study this week and I came across this commentator, Barnes Notes on the Bible, and this is what he writes concerning the geography of Palestine. He says, Palestine was to a considerable extent a land of hills and mountains. Like other countries of that description, it was subject to sudden and violent rains. The Jordan, the principal stream, was annually swollen to a great extent and became rapid and furious in its course. The streams which ran amongst the hills, whose channels might have been dry during some months of the year, became suddenly swollen with the rain and would pour down impetuously into the plains below. Everything in the way of these torrents would be swept off, even houses erected within the reach of these sudden inundations, and especially if founded on sand or any unsolid basis, would not stand before them. The rising, bursting stream would shake it to its foundation. The rapid torrent would gradually wash away its base. It would totter and fail. Rocks in that country were common, and it was easy to secure for their houses a solid foundation. No comparison could to a Jew have been more striking. Interesting, right? So, in the parable that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49 that we just read, the house represents what? The house represents a life. It represents a soul. The house represents you and me. So my question tonight to you is this. Which house do you want to be? The house that's built on the rock, or the house that is built on shifting sands? I want to be the house. I want to be the life that is built upon the solid rock of hearing the word of God, the words of Jesus, on a continual basis, and putting into practice, obeying the word of God, the words of Jesus, on a continual basis. If you're hearing the word of God on a continual basis, maybe from a minister, maybe from actually opening the word of God and reading it to yourself out loud, if you're hearing the word of God on a consistent daily basis and putting it into practice, your life will be spiritually strong. Your life will be one known to be founded upon the rock. But if you're hearing the word of God and getting into it and feeding on it just occasionally and not even doing what it says to do, guess what? You won't be spiritually strong. You'll actually be spiritually weak. That's a house, that's a life founded upon shifting sand, so that when the flood comes, that house, that life will cave in. If you want to be a house that is solidly founded on a rock, like I just said, a house that is spiritually strong, you have got to be feeding on the word of God consistently, daily, and doing, obeying what the word of God, what the words of Jesus tell us to do. It's so important to start off the year this way. The way you start off this year will set the tone for the rest of the year. You've got to be getting into the word of God, reading the word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, learning from the words of Jesus in the Gospels. Not every once in a blue moon, but on a consistent basis, friends. Let me read you this other little illustration from the speaker's quote book. Charles Spurgeon said he once saw a Bible through which a worm had bored its way, beginning at Genesis and ending with Revelation. And from that hour, his desire was to be a Bible bookworm, eating through the Word, believing and digesting it all. You've got to make it up in your mind tonight. It's got to be one of your New Year's resolutions starting tonight, that you will be a Bible bookworm. Say it with me tonight. I Want to be
a
Bible bookworm with God's grace in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the parable Jesus gave in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, what do the floods represent? What do the floods, what does the flood represent? Floods represent spiritual attacks and challenges that will come against you in your walk with God. So tonight I'm going to talk about, for the next few moments, the spiritual flood of temptation. The spiritual flood of temptation. Maybe you were tempted in 2022 and maybe you were not getting into the Word of God, so you caved and gave into the temptation when it came across your path last year. But guess what? You can stand strong this year. How? By eating from the Word of God on a consistent basis and actually doing with God's grace what the Word of God, what the words of Jesus tell us to do. So, maybe, I'm going to give a few examples here tonight. Maybe, just a few examples. There's many temptations that can come across our paths this year. But this is just a few examples here tonight. Maybe in 2022, you became tempted to become physically intimate with somebody who's not your spouse. And maybe you thought, wow, she's just so pleasing to look upon. And you thought about it. And you were tempted. And you thought about it. And you gave in to the temptation. And you fell. And you became physically intimate with that person who is not your spouse. But guess what? Don't condemn yourself tonight. Because the Word of God says that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if that happened in 2022, 2022 is the past. But let's say it were to happen again starting this year in 2023 and you find that person, that lady who's attractive, and you're tempted to become intimate with her, this person who is not your spouse. If you're in the Word of God, you're hearing the Word of God, you're studying the Word of God, you're meditating upon the Word of God, at that time the Word of God should come up from the inside of you. And this is part of the Word of God that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, for instance, for 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So if that temptation were to come across your path again this year, the Word of God that you've been hearing and studying on a consistent basis should come up out of you and you'd be like, you know what? I read where Paul wrote to the Corinthians. I need to flee sexual immorality. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So if she's pleasing to look upon, turn your eyes away and walk away from that situation. And that actually is doing the Word of God by walking away from that situation. If you're solidly grounded in the Word of God, you will stand when the spiritual flood of temptation tries to hit your life this year. Amen?
Amen.
Getting into the Word of God and doing the Word of God gives you spiritual strength in your walk with God. When that temptation comes across your path, guess what? If you're in the Word of God and you're praying to God, guess what? You're not going to cave in when that temptation tries to take you down spiritually. Is that good news here tonight? Another example. These are just a few examples, and there's many more that can happen to us this year. Maybe you were tempted in 2022, maybe the last 4 weeks of the month, of December, to add an hour to your time card weekly. And you might have been thinking, man, you know, it's just an extra 4 hours, like an extra $50. You know, I really needed the money for the holiday season. But friends, if you're in the Word of God on a consistent basis and you're feeding on the Word of God daily and you're meditating on the Word of God, you'll know that the Word of God tells us to speak the truth. Tells us to speak the truth. And if you put some extra time on your time card thinking, you know, my employer won't even recognize it, realize it, it was a lie. You know, in this year, you can withstand if the same temptation comes if you're in the Word of God. You'll remember what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. What did he write in Ephesians 4:25? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Speak truthfully to his neighbor. So if you're tempted again this year to maybe put a little extra time on your time card, and you're thinking, you know what, it's just a few extra hours for that month. Friends, it's a lie. But if the Word of God is on the inside of you, it'll come out of you when you need it. When that temptation comes to put a couple of extra hours on your card, guess what? If you're in the Word of God and you're practicing the Word of God, you will not cave into that temptation. The Word of God will come out from deep on the inside of you, and you'll think, you know what? The Word of God says to put away falsehood from me. The Word of God says that I need to speak truthfully to others. I'm going to live a life of honesty because that's what God's Word commands me to do. And I am going to do it by God's grace. And if you get weak, if the temptation is strong, and your flesh wants to cave in and give in, just cry out to God and say, God, I know what your Word says, but I can't do it on my own. God, give me your strength, and God will enable you by the power of the Holy Spirit to withstand that temptation and not fall for it. Is that good news here tonight? Maybe in 2022, here one last example. Maybe in 2022 you were tempted to retaliate against an offender. Maybe somebody borrowed, I don't know, $100, maybe a couple of $100 from you in 2022, and they promised they'd get it back to you in a week. And then 2 weeks went by, and then 5 months went by, and you didn't get the money, and you were like, man, I really could have used that money for the month of December to buy some gifts. And you got upset, and you were tempted to retaliate and get vengeance on this offender. And maybe because you weren't in the Word of God, you caved in and you retaliated. Well, 2022 is the past. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But the question is this: what about when that same temptation to retaliate hits you in 2023? Maybe hits you tonight. Maybe somebody will joke about your weight. Maybe you've been trying to keep a good physical appearance. Maybe you've been trying to lose some weight, and somebody comes up and says, man, it looks like you've put on a few pounds, and it gets under your skin. It really offends you because you've been trying to maintain a good physical appearance. You're trying to lose weight, and it really offended you. And you think, man, I want to get even with that person. They made a negative comment about my physical appearance. I'm going to make even a worse comment about their physical appearance. That's called retaliation. But if you're in the Word of God, you know that the Word of God from the beginning to the end talks about what? Talks about forgiveness. Releasing your offender of the debt that you feel that they owe you. Releasing yourself from any kind of retaliation or vengeance you would want to get against your offender. And if you're in the Word of God and studying the Word of God, you know that the Word of God from front to back talks about forgiving others their wrongs against you. For instance, you might come up from your spirit in Ephesians 4, verse 29, 32, where Paul writes to the Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God. And you're thinking, wow, I need to be kind and compassionate, forgiving my offender, just as in Christ God forgave me. I'm going to be an imitator of God in this area of forgiveness. I had a mountain of sin against God that was so great, and God forgave me of it. And I need to forgive my offender. So if somebody gets under your skin after you leave the service in the next hour, irritates you, says something to bother you, takes something from you, and you're tempted to retaliate, but you've been in the Word of God, or you're in the Word of God, and you know what the Word of God says, then do what the Word of God says and forgive that offender. Getting into the Word of God, hearing it, studying it, meditating it upon it, and actually doing and obeying what the Word of God and what the words of Jesus tell us to do is a house, is a life solidly founded upon a rock. That's a life that has spiritual strength. Is that making sense here to you tonight? So, if you want to retaliate against that person who said something negative to you, what do? You remember what the Word of God says about forgiveness? Being kind and compassionate, forgiving others just as God in Christ forgave us. You bite your tongue and you walk away. And you don't cave into that temptation. And God will reward you and bless you for not retaliating. Is that making sense here tonight? So these were just a few examples of temptations that may come across your path, our paths, this year. But to overcome those temptations, when the flood of temptation tries to hit your life this year, will it be said of you that your life is solidly founded upon the rock of hearing God's Word, of getting into God's Word consistently on a daily basis, and doing with God's grace what the Word of God says to do, so that you don't cave in when that temptation hits you? You can't be in the Word of God just every so often, once in a blue moon, at Easter, at Christmas, or four times a month. You've got to be in the Word of God daily, consistently. And so for the next few minutes, I want to talk about hearing and obeying God's Word. We talked about it. Get into God's Word daily. And preferably, it might be a good idea if you get into the Word of God in the morning hours. When you wake up, you take your shower, you get ready for the day, open up the Bible to the book of John, read a chapter starting with John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Start reading the Word of God. Think about what you read. And then the next morning, Tuesday morning, you get up, take your shower, get yourself ready for the day. Maybe it's 6 o'clock or 6:30. You've eaten your breakfast. It's even better really to read this Word before you eat your breakfast. Right. Open the Word of God and read a few scriptures. Read a chapter. Think about what you read and do it on a consistent basis. And if you do it enough, it'll become a habit. You'll get into the Word of God and you'll be in it consistently. And as you get into it consistently, you're eating from it consistently and doing what the Word of God says to do. Guess what? You'll have spiritual strength to withstand the floods or the flood of temptation that may come across your life this year. Is that making sense here tonight? And then, got to get into God's Word. And remember what Jesus talked about in the parable about the person who digs deep. What does he say in Luke chapter 6? Let's turn there real quick. Luke chapter 6. Let's read that real quick again. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep. We can take this as meditation. Meditating upon the Word of God, digging deep into the Word of God, reading it and thinking about what you read. What does the psalmist write in Psalm 119? 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. You got to be hearing from the Word of God, maybe from the preachers here at night. You could be opening the Word of God and reading it to yourself. And as you read it to yourself, you're actually hearing yourself speak the Word of God. And then you got to think about what you read. You've got to ponder what you read in the Word of God. You've got to mull upon it. You've got to meditate upon the Word of God. And then by God's grace and empowerment by His Holy Spirit, you put into practice that Word that you read. So reading it early in the morning, consistently, make it a New Year's resolution that starting tomorrow, you're going to get into God's Word. And do it enough, and it will become an awesome habit in your life. Remember, James writes in James 2:17 that faith without works is dead? Right? Well, if you're hearing the Word of God and you're not putting it into action, obeying it, then it's ineffective. You will not grow spiritually. But if you hear the Word of God and you meditate upon it and you actually do it and obey it on a consistent basis, that is effective, and you will grow spiritually in your walk with the Almighty God and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The psalmist wrote, to close it off, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. Actually, Psalm 119, the entire psalm, it's a long psalm, the entire psalm is about the Word of God. I'd encourage you tonight, tomorrow, to get into Psalm 119. It's a long psalm, over 100 scriptures. Read a few scriptures every morning this week from Psalm 119. And it's all about the Word of God and getting into the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God. Is that good news here tonight? One final illustration here tonight. By George Mueller. He wrote this minister. The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. I solemnly state this from the experience of 54 years. The first 3 years after conversion, I neglected the Word of God. Since I began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. I have read the Bible through 100 times and always with increasing delight. Each time it seems like a new book to me. Great has been the blessing from consecutive, diligent, daily study. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. That comes from George Mueller. God loves you so very much. God wants you to get into His Word and study His Word. Study His Word and the words of Jesus as we find them in the Gospels, friends. But to read them consistently, daily. Jesus said, He who hears my words is hearing my words on a consistent basis and putting them into practice is the person who is digging deep and building his life upon a solid rock. So that when the floods of temptation come across your life this year, you will not cave in, because the Word of God that is stored up on the inside of you by reading it and by meditating upon it will come out of you at the right time. In your life, your house will stand strong and not fall for that temptation. Amen?
Amen?
Is that good news? God's Word is awesome, isn't it? I love the Word of God. Love the Word of God. And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus. But tonight, for the very first time in my life, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight, for the very first time, you're wanting to accept Him as Savior and Lord, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what the person next to you is thinking. It only matters what God thinks about you. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight, for the first time, you want to do so, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody in the room here tonight?
Amen.
Is this a first-time salvation, ma'am? It is? Stand up. Stand up. You can't, you said? It's okay. You can sit down. Awesome. Anybody else want to follow this person's lead, her lead here tonight? Wanting to, for the very first time, place your faith in Jesus. If you want to follow her lead, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody else? All right. Ma'am, please repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying upon the cross for my sins. Tonight, I place my faith in you. Be my Savior and my Lord. The one in full charge of every part of my life. My spirit, my mind, my body, every part of me. And Jesus, I pray that you give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life. I love you. And when I leave this earth, Jesus, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The angels of God in heaven are rejoicing over her decision. Now, maybe there's some of you out there tonight that at one point accepted Jesus in the past. But maybe you got upset with God, maybe you got upset with somebody and ended up getting upset with God and you've slipped away from Jesus. But tonight you want to rededicate your life back to Jesus Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. There's not another moment to waste, because remember this, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of any doubt that you'd go to heaven? If you're not sure, you need to re-give your life back to Jesus. If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Do what He's telling you to do. So if that's you, raise your hand tonight. Yes, sir. See this young man? Stand up. Anybody else want to follow his lead? Anybody else want to follow his lead tonight, wanting to re-give your life back to Jesus? Recommit, rededicate your life back to Christ. Anybody else want to follow his lead? Doesn't matter what somebody in front of you or beside you is thinking, only what God thinks about you is what matters. Anybody else want to follow his lead? Okay, see that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else here tonight want to follow their lead? All right. Is the gentleman standing up, come forward to the altar, please. Anybody else, last call, want to follow this lead? All right. Say, Dear Jesus, I love you. I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. You rose again. And tonight, I put my faith in you. I make you my Savior and be my Lord. The one in full charge of every part of my life. My spirit, my mind, my body, my relationships, every part of me. I love you, Jesus. Jesus, I re-give my life back to you. I followed you and I slipped, but tonight I say I'm sorry. Change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior. Pray that you give me the strength all the days of my life to follow you. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over the salvation tonight and the recommitments. God loves you so very much. Start getting into God's Word. God loves you. You're just this brother here. Is this brother right here going to dismiss us tonight? Come on up, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we